Heading over to Paris now. How are you, Gavin?
Very well, thanks, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, great to have you on. And it's a fascinating title. I know this book came out last year, right in the middle of the height of the pandemic and what we were facing. And, you know, what with Colonel Tom, of course, Captain Tom, and lots of people kind of drawing parallels, I suppose, to the Second World War. Was that the reason for writing this book?
It was, that's right. It was guidance from the greatest. And just I thought that there were, particularly at the beginning of the pandemic, Matt Hancock, the health minister, demanded that the British people summon up their Blitz spirit. And there were quite a few wartime references. And so I just thought, having interviewed, I don't know, probably about 200 wartime veterans, from soldiers, sailors, airmen, civilians who survived the Blitz, etc., I thought it's quite an interesting parallel to explore and examine. And so that's what I tried to do, just to bring out in 12 chapters the 12 characteristics that I thought best summed up that wartime generation.
Is it the fact that actually, you know, it's such, you know, although we're talking about British culture here, that it really was a different time? And were there many things that you were seeing that were common in both times?
I think there was, particularly at the beginning, Dave, in the first lockdown, there was a sort of a coming together, a community spirit. You, the Vera Lynn, who you played at the start of the interview, she talked about this and how heartening it had been to see people looking out for one another, the young looking out for their elderly neighbours, and everyone doing the volunteering, the NHS volunteer scheme, and so I think there certainly was, and people volunteered. One example I gave was of young Britons, because of the travel restrictions, the Eastern Europeans who formed the bulk of the fruit picking workforce in the UK couldn't get over to pick fruit in the around about this time of year, May, June. And so a lot of young Brits volunteered to do it. And I think it was a bit of a shock to the system, but they actually found that they found it rewarding and gratifying. So that was one example. So I think that there was an ingenuity, is another chapter, that obviously the wartime generation, they were famous for make do and mend, dig for victory. And in a way, they were the first sort of green generation, recycling. And then we saw a lot of ingenuity in the lockdown. People were doing physical fitness in their back garden in quite ingenious ways, and making masks. Schools began to make these plastic visors. So I think in a time of crisis, many of the qualities that we associate with the wartime generation are still there, latent in their successive generations.
And you interviewed some great people, of course, those that were involved with the Battle of Britain, and you mentioned Tom Moore, and of course Dame Vera Lynn there. And the Queen herself kind of evoked memories, didn't she, when she says, "We'll meet again, we'll hug again." That was, to me, felt very emotive.
It was, absolutely. And I think you've mentioned the three people there, Dave, that I think were really at the heart of the sort of the British response, if you like, in the first lockdown. The Queen, Dame Vera, and Captain Tom. And that wartime generation who had, as young people, had been through so much. And they sort of embodied this keep calm and carry on mantra that we Brits love to invoke. And so I think sort of stoicism, in a way, came back into fashion. There's been a lot of, I think in the 1960s onwards, it was rather ridiculed, the stiff upper lip, as though you were sort of emotionally retarded. But I think you saw in the lockdown that it the likes of Captain Tom, for example, that magnificent fundraising effort he did, and always there, so immaculate in his regimental blazer and tie, polished shoes, iron trousers, and just the epitome of calm. And I think that's why he captured the spirit, because he reminded ourselves, I suppose, of those qualities that we like to think best represent Britain.
Yeah. You mentioned stoicism there, and of course the stiff upper lip that we're well known for, and we obviously have come a long way since that time where we're open about our mental health far more than we would have been probably during the Second World War. And I think they've been given the bad rap, that generation, because whenever I've spoken to people from that generation, they are very emotional about it. It's not, you know, they're not emotionless about the war.
No, absolutely not. No, I mean, I've seen many old men break down and cry when they've talked about the war. And it's that they are exactly, you're right, they are much maligned, really, that generation for being sort of rather intolerant and bigoted. And of course they had views that at the time or rather now are considered rather old-fashioned, but they were very enlightened in many ways. And of course they had to bottle it up in a way, because they were seeing their friends die, you know, almost on a daily basis. And the same for women. And back on the home front during the Blitz, you may go to bed at night and then wake up in the morning after an air raid and see that your next door neighbour's house has been flattened. And you just had to really to keep calm and carry on to get on with it. And there was no other way. And so, yes, of course, it's better to talk about it now. But I think that generation were also much, perhaps mentally, had greater mental fortitude.
Yeah, we're talking to Gavin Mortimer here on his book, Guidance from the Greatest, What the World War II Generation Can Teach Us About How We Live Our Lives. It's available on tre.radio, our website, if you want to order yourself a copy of the book. And maybe, Gavin, just give us maybe one or two of the ones that jump out at you out of the 12 that we can maybe look at putting into our lives today.
I think courage. I talked about a wonderful woman I interviewed, Bobby Tanner. Gillian was her birth name, but she preferred Bobby. And she drove a petrol van in. She was a member. She joined the fire service, and at that time women weren't allowed to actually be firefighters. But she was had the invaluable job of driving these two about 150 tins of petrol, 2 gallons in a tin, to the firemen when they were fighting these raging fires during the Blitz. And you can imagine, if one spark from a German incendiary bomb had gone inside her lorry, it'd have been boom. But she was just so calm and cool, and she was the first firewoman to be awarded the George Medal, for her courage during at the height of the Blitz in the autumn of 1940. And she was after the war, she took part in the Monte Carlo rally, and she was just such a cool woman. She really was, and very self-deprecating. That was one. And then I think I closed the I talked actually for humour. There's a chapter on humour, and the humour that got us through the war touches on what we were just saying, Dave, about sort of, you know, the grinning and bearing it in a way. And that was Dame Vera, and I had the honour of having tea with Dame Vera. Brilliant. About 18 years ago, and she was just very funny and told some very funny stories. Of she was performing in the London Palladium in the spring of 1941 during the Blitz, and very funny stories of how they coped. And I draw the parallel with today. And I think one thing that worries me slightly in Britain today is that we're losing our humour. People take offence at a drop of a hat, and we have professional offence takers, and it just seems that more and more things are any sort of quirky humour is off the pits. And we once prided ourselves in our eccentricity, and now we're becoming rather conformist, and that's killing that unique British humour.
I think so. I think we're world known for our British humour, aren't we? And the Americans don't completely understand it, but they like it. We're well known for it. And I think humour is dying at the moment, because people need to lighten up a little bit. They're getting so easily offended at everything that's going, and they're almost finding things to be offended about. But I think that humour was massive. I just think of some of the jokes that were going around at the time that maybe, like you say, wouldn't sit pretty today, but they kept people's spirits alive.
Yeah, exactly. And just kept the morale up. There's a great photo I saw in the research of a bombed out shop in London after one air raid, and it says, "You can break our windows, Mr. Hitler, but you can't break our spirit." And that was a great, to find humour in the depths of misery. And again, the humour that I uncovered in the Japanese prisoner of war camps were really conditioned to inhumane. And it's what kept the boys going. They would have these concert parties, and despite being emaciated and beaten and really demoralised, they got such a boost from singing songs and cracking jokes, and it's vital that we don't let our humour die, particularly that great sort of rather macabre, quirky humour that, as you said, we're known for throughout the world.
Yeah, kind of self-deprecating as well as it's self-effacing humour. That we had, and yeah, we need that back again. So let's work on that between us then, Gavin.
We'll do our best, yeah.
Well, I'm going to leave there. The quality of the connection isn't the greatest we've ever had. It's almost like Second World War quality, so it kind of adds the atmosphere to the interview. But Gavin, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. How's things there in Paris at the moment?
Yeah, we're beginning to come out of lockdown now. The terraces of restaurants are open. The curfew has been pushed back from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And then in a couple of weeks, it's going to be 11 p.m. So theatres and cinemas, museums are open. We just need the weather to behave itself, because so far it's been like Scotland in February.
No, it's been a little bit odd down here as well in Spain. But yeah, certainly. Thank you, Gavin. Thanks for coming on. The book is available on our website.
Pleasure.
Cheers, Gavin. It's tre.radio. If you want to get a copy of the book, it's called The Guidance from the Greatest, What the World War II Generation Can Teach Us About How We Live Our Lives. And it's Gavin Mortimer. Thank you, Gavin.